That was a little bit of Shirley. That was Shirley's Hammer, better known as the Hammering in My Head. I don't know how she does it. She just gets my motor revving. Okay, part two. Welcome to part two. We hope to have parts 3, 4, and 5, but who knows? That peach truck may be right around the corner. Start off with our checklist. Doing the lucky shot at Tanako. Always good to have luck on your side. Okay, got a big, big show, so let's jump into it.
Bart, Barry Crimmins, beautiful, beautiful comments on Miller today. Nice job. All right. Here's what I have to say. A court-appointed or otherwise president's speeches should not be subject to editing by the CIA. Here's how it's supposed to work. The CIA gives the press info, and then he weighs that info and uses it as he sees fit. The idea of them proofreading a president's speeches is not only comical, it's criminal. Disinformation is what they do at the CIA. It should be called the Department of Lying. The idea to even bring them in or mention that they were given final word on anything is a complete insult to all of us. To suggest that the CIA has this final word on the State of the Union address indicates that the court-appointed president is guilty of extreme dereliction of duty. We're being asked to believe that the entire court-appointed Bush administration, noted for treating almost all inquiries as impertinent assaults on its patriarchal infallibility, was suddenly incapable of sussing out the freely available truth about an explosive allegation. This demonstrates that they are either responsible or irresponsible concerning the life and death matter of war. Either way, they are unfit to lead the country. Get rid of the bastards. We're being asked to believe that Powell, Cheney, Wolfowitz, Rice, Rumsfeld never learned any of this Niger-Iraq nuke connection stuff. It was a fabrication until just recently. Come on. Then what else don't you know? The bottom line is Bush told the lie. Bush is responsible. Impeach him. That's all. Nice speaking with you again, Bart, and my best to everyone in Bart Cop Land. This is Barry Crimmins, www.barrycrimmins.com. Come see me real soon. Thanks.
You know, I like Barry, and since I'm an amateur at best, and he's a professional, I hate to give him advice, but Barry, you got to have more passion. You got to put some feeling into it, buddy. You can't, all this sugarcoating and all that, it's just not working. You got to speak frankly. You got to put a little oomph in your voice. Let them know you mean it.
Yeah, two quick points. First, you're talking about Arnold. Arnold smoked a joint in Pumping Iron, the bodybuilding documentary. I think it was him and Lou Ferrigno in the back of the bus. Later on, Arnold tried to buy up all existing copies of the film. Okay, so... you know, you might want to get some contributor to send in a video clip of that.
Okay, good point. If anyone has a copy of that Pumping Iron movie, whatever it's called, with Arnold and the Hulk, if you would, try to get us a clip of that. Also, John Stewart ran a clip, and I'm not sure what it was from or what it meant, but he ran a video clip of Arnold very, very young, still had the big gap in his teeth, and he always looks goofy. But Arnold, for some reason, looked in the camera and said, "I come in the morning, I come in the afternoon, I come at night, I come all the time." And I don't know, you wouldn't think that would be in a sexual context, but I can't think, maybe he meant I come to the gym all the time, but it looked a little goofy for Arnold to be staring into the camera and saying, "I come all the time."
And the second thing real quick, isn't it about time you apologize for your rant against Beth Harris? You know, they've got the New Zealand papers printing her articles. A number of sites have downloaded the black box voting files. And, you know, it's starting to prove what she said was true. People are looking at this pretty seriously. You know, so it didn't look like she was scamming anybody on her part. That's about it. Thanks a lot. Have a good day. Bye.
Excellent. I am very early in my radio career, but this is the very best phone call I've ever gotten so far. I love the challenge mail, and I love the challenge call. That's why I can't wait to have the live diddle monkey. Not that you're a diddle monkey. Didn't mean that. I just meant the challenge. That's where everything is. I mean, if you ever played pool, if you ever played poker, if you ever done anything, you know, you don't want to mow somebody over. You want to be tested. You want to have the fastball thrown at you. Bev Harris. Now, it would be good if everybody stopped and backed up a little bit and looked at the picture. The attack on Bart, it can't be that I'm pro-Bush and I want Bush to steal the next election. That can't be your position, that I am pro-Bush. You can't think that. You just can't. Your position can't be that I am pro-Diebold and pro-Nagel, and I want them to get away with another fixed election. You can't think that way. If you are thinking that way, then you need a little soldering done upstairs. Because that is not my problem with Bev Harris, that she's about to unveil the truth, and Bart wants to stop it at any cost. I mean, that is not what we got here. This story has been goofy from the start. And when the big shit hit, and I said up front, because it's true, always with the truth, I don't know Bev Harris. I had never heard her name. And they said, oh, you're so stupid. You got her link on your page. Well, yeah, there was a page for black box voting. And if that was BevHarris.com and it was on my page and I didn't have the brains to know it, then yeah, my 64 comes through again. But how in the world was I going to connect Bev Harris with blackvotingwhatever.com? I just, you know, those two don't equal in my head. But I am unfamiliar with Bev's work, so I asked around. And I got pretty much a 50-50. Half the people said she's a good lady doing good work. And the other people said, well, looking like a bit of a crackpot. She's done this, she's done that. One of the things I never saw, but they said she was selling Monica cigars during impeachment. Now, right away, between me and her, if one of us is going to be conspicuously, allegedly part Republican, would it be the guy with 1,120 issues of fuck the GOP, or would it be the lady selling Monica cigars? So, hey, I think I got round one right there. The problem I had with Bev's, she came on like a screaming banshee. She came on with the story of the century, the story that was guaranteed to make Bush resign. Now, the guarantee was my words, but she said, oh, boy, here the resignation is, here we go. Oh, she went on this big thing about, they're going to shoot me. My evidence against Bush is so strong, so solid, so certain, that when the wildfire is ignited, surely my life is in danger. I mean, she was going down that whole road, and it just really, really, in my opinion, came off as extra goofy. And she said, I got the evidence, but I can't tell you what it is. But I got the evidence, but I can't tell you what it is. But I have the evidence, but I can't say what it is. That came off a little goofy. The idea, if she had some real evidence, why the hell would you get on a website or five and in these chat rooms say, I got the evidence, and they're going to kill me, but I can't tell you what it is. That's asking to be shot. That's ridiculous. Now, already you can see there's a difference between wanting to help Bush and Bev being a crackpot. Now, surely you can see that. If not, call me back. I'll go through it again. If Bev had some dynamite information that was real, start over. If I had some dynamite information that was real, well, hell, I have a website. I'd publish it there. But if I was Bev, I would show that evidence to somebody like Robert Perry, who probably runs the most important website, perhaps, on the Internet, consortiumnews.com. Robert Perry broke Iran-Contra. If he can break a story like that, he can break a story like this. If Robert Perry was unwilling or unable or busy or whatever, couldn't get to it, you might try Greg Palast. He has a history of breaking stories. And outside of America, Greg Palast is a really big deal. You go to England or Australia or Europe or something, they say, hey, there's one American telling the truth. I'll be damned. So if Bev Harris had real information, had real proof, had anything real, she could have taken it to somebody. If I have a football and Jim Brown's standing next to me, I'm going to give Jim Brown the football if the object is to score. Now, if the object is to see how many points old Bart can score, well, yeah, I've got to keep the ball. But if the object is to score, you're going to give the ball to Jim Brown. She chose not to do that, making me think her objective was not to score. Have you ever heard of the Bay City Rollers? They did a song of something about da 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 Saturday night, and you can tell I'm a good singer. And everybody's going, what the fuck is he talking? Who are the bass that he wrote? Okay, I'll tell you. But first, have you ever heard of The Knack? I'm sure you've heard of The Knack. My Sharona, da-da-da-da-da-da, My Sharona. Now, that's the only song you've ever heard of by The Knack, and you've never heard of the Bay City Rollers. What destroyed the careers of those two bands? Boy, I'll bet you there's a lot of opinions on that, but I got one. What destroyed the careers of those two bands is they were introduced as the next Beatles, either that or bigger than the Beatles. And if there's a guaranteed kiss of death in the music business, is when you come up with an unknown group no one's ever heard of. Now, if you want to say Zeppelin bigger than Beatles, The Who, The Stones, Shania, Britney Spears, I mean, you can make a case for records sold, whatever. But the idea that you don't introduce an unknown band as bigger and better than the Beatles, because they better just rock. They better be the best thing that ever walked the earth, and neither band was. People took one look at them and said, that's no Beatles, and they were never heard from again. That's the mistake Bev made. She came on with this bigger than Watergate, bigger than the Pentagon Papers. Swear, I don't know where this is, but I'm pretty sure I read this. I think somewhere she said it was the biggest story since 1776 is what I think I read. You don't do that. You will be laughed out of town. You're going to be, well, laughed off the internet. Just today, if I had more time, more organization, just today, I got an email, someone saying, damn, check out Bev's big story. It's breaking. So I went to this website, and it didn't say, big story breaking. It says, woman makes claim. If you read any of these stories, that's how they're covered. Woman makes claim. That's not a smoking gun that's going to make Bush resign. Woman makes claim. I mean, hell, we got a lady in Fort Worth that has filed a lawsuit against Bush that he raped her. And so what we have is a woman with a claim, but is it going anywhere? Nobody will touch the story. And I'm proud of Bev for getting the New Zealand people to publish this, and it might even be a good move because it makes it look like, ooh, it's too hot for America. We had to go way, you know, where the BFEE can't touch us kind of deal. I think that was a pretty good move. But until you get Connison and Lyons and Palast and Perry and other people talk, you know, move on, that might be a good one. Until you get some of the heavy hitters to back this up and say, we're putting our reputation on the line. You don't have a story. The wasn't a bet exactly, but what I said in public, big time, mark my words. What I said was, if this story is as big as Bev says, and she causes Bush to resign, I will crawl on my hands and knees and kiss her feet. Now, as you know, I do a bit of gambling. And notice how this bet is set up. Either, if I'm going to be kissing Bev's feet, that means we no longer have a President Bush. Now, that's not going to happen. You see how that bet is set up? I can't lose. If I am humiliated into kissing her feet, that means that Bush is destroyed. He's been run out of town as a murdering laughingstock who could only win a fixed race, which we all know is true, but the proof is in the pudding. And I've probably gotten 20 to 40 emails saying, hey, did you see Bev's big story? It's finally broken. And each one of them I wrote back and said, can you explain it to me? What's the big story? And they said, well, go look. And no. If you can't tell it to me, what kind of story can't be told? Tell me what the story is. And they said, well, these Dybo machines, they come in three parts. In part one, you can check, and part two is similar, but you don't know. And then part three is the part that controls, I don't know, part two or part one. And the precinct guy can look at part one, but part two goes to the other place. And that's not the same as a young woman named Lori died in the congressman's office. Wait, well, I'm sorry, bad example, because that was a non-story too. When a young woman dies in a congressman's office, the press immediately looks behind their name. Is that a D? If it's a D, send over every man we got, stop the presses, get every reporter on the scene. But if he's got an R behind his name, it's people die all the time. Do I owe Bev an apology? I guess the question would be for what? I said, if in writing, we can check it. I said, if Her story is big enough that it causes President Bush to resign, as she was claiming that I would kiss her feet. So far, I have no toenail polish on my lips because the monkey is still in office. And for the people who think that there's been a touchdown scored, my God, our scoreboard has zero on it. Why are you jumping up and down, swinging your pom-poms when there's zero on the scoreboard? I think it is at least premature to ask for an apology, because remember, this is the bar she set. I didn't even have to goad her into, in poker, you finesse the guy into putting most of his chips in, and then you release the big hammer and screw him to death. That wasn't even needed here. When I met Bev, she was screaming, they're out to kill me because my story is that big. My story is that big. They're going to put a bullet in my head. That's how big and important and powerful the story is. To save Bush's presidency, they'll have to kill me. And yeah, I'm exaggerating a little bit for some effect here, but I assume the forum people have these old pages saved, because a lot of people, they do that. But Bev was making the wildest claims ever. As a matter of fact, it went from, after about, the way I remember it, after about a day and a half of tussling, the story went from this white-hot, bigger than Watergate, bigger than the Pentagon Papers, the most important story since 1776, that was, quote, a few goddamn days away. That was another problem I had with the DU people. I wouldn't give her, quote, a few goddamn days. So I wrote back, oh, I didn't know it was coming out in a couple of days. Hey, be sure and notify me in a couple of days when the big bombshell hits. Then, after about 36 hours, we went from the big bombshell, the biggest since 1776, bigger than Watergate, bigger than the Pentagon Papers, to the characterization that, like Watergate, it started out as a simple burglary. And as the years went by, it eventually turned into something. The idea that for this to be bigger than Watergate, you're going to have some a dead hooker in the trunk. You tell someone there was a dead hooker in Bush's trunk and show them a picture, and Bush standing there with that usual look on his face, now you got a story. But to suggest that the column, you know, column B, when matched up with column A, and the column C that controls column B, and that B controls A, and A and C, and the, that is not a story. And the reason I'm sure is because Bush is still in office. So, I am looking so forward to kissing Bev's feet. I will stay up late tonight at the thrill of doing that, because it means we've lost Bush. I am pro losing Bush. One other thing, the caller's criteria was some people are starting to look at the story. That's a little different than caused Bush to resign. So you got to admit that the bar that was bet on, if you want to call it a bet, is a little different. If the bet was, Bev's got a story that's going to cause some people to look at it, hell, I'm not taking that bet, because I'll bet some people will look at the story. Also, crazy, goofy Bev, when this tussle, this dust-up, this brouhaha, started to gain speed over at DU, and I don't have any problem with it. Oh, by the way, did the DU people cover this? Not, I don't mean did they talk about it in the forum where Bev is worshipped. I'm talking about, was there big headlines on DU? Bev Harris breaks story of the year, story of the decade? I missed that. I wish someone would have given me the email or the link. Someone said, Bart's a lawyer, and I wrote back, no, I'm not a lawyer. And so Bev took that to mean he's threatening me with a legal lawsuit. She came up with some Latin name that I was attempting to file a this Latin name lawsuit against her, which, according to Bev, would have thrown this into some kind of legal jurisdiction and would effectively have bottled up her story for years and years. So we're back to the theory that Bart will do anything to help Bush out. Meanwhile, the cigar lady wants to claim the high ground. I don't get it. So in closing, I'm hoping you, the listener, can tell the difference between Bart trying to help his good friend Bush steal more elections and claiming your band is better than the Beatles is a really, really stupid way to get your band noticed. And I have nothing against Bev. I'd kind of like to drop this, but you know me. You come at me with a charge, I'm not going to say, jeepers, you might be right, and lay down. It's just not in my nature.
Bush lied. Thousands died. freedom's fried. Economic slide. Impeach.
I've got a stack. You can't see it, because this isn't Barkout TV. Tommy Mack's been to my house. Tommy, please don't tell what you saw, but the whole house is full of stacks of stuff. Mostly it's videotapes and CDs and I don't know, just stuff, but all around the little studio here, we just got nothing but piles of paper. I go through a paper, I circle this, I put X's by that, and I put it in the pile, and I think, I'll sit down, and I'll do an hour on that stack of papers, and then, you know, you sit down, and you check the mail, and then you do this, you do that, pretty soon, boom, midnight. So, we're attempting to go through the stack, and I think the stack is in reverse chronological order, whatever that means, but I think that means the new stuff is first. Not that we're going to do many sports, but I see here on front page of Friday's newspaper in the sports, USA Today. It's a great picture. I looked for it. I looked for it a long time. I spent 15-20 minutes looking for this picture on the front page of Friday's USA Today Sports. The top story, there's something strange in the wind. It shows Tiger. Tiger Woods and four of the people looking for his ball. This idiot. Apparently, on the first hole, he hit the ball, and I don't know if they found it to this day. But old Tiger just don't have that magic like he used to have. Last I heard, he was in fifth place. Hex on thee, hex on thee, hex on thee, Tiger. Nagada. You are not going to win this one. Also, closing sports, because I know how you hate the sports. I think you hate the sports more than you hate the music. But I did not like these idiot cops in Colorado. Boy, I'll tell you, Kobe Bryant better be guilty. He better be damn guilty. He better be iron-proof damn guilty on videotape for what they're doing to him. These idiots announced yesterday, they get all breathless, and you know how backdoor Bettina Gregory, you know how she would get when she was talking about Clinton's penis? Well, that's what they're doing in Colorado. They're getting all breathless and grabbing a microphone saying, hey, I got big, 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 big news about Kobe Bryant. You ready for the big, big, big news about Kobe Bryant? We're going to tell you tomorrow. The sons of bitches. So that means for 24 hours, the whole sports world is going crazy with what are they going to do. They pretty much have to charge the guy. I mean, after what they've done to him, and then Thursday to announce that you're going to have an announcement the next day, what the hell is the purpose of that? So another 100 media whores can fly to Colorado and stand there with their microphone and record this extremely important story? I think we got here. You know something else? I took a lot of shit over that stupid moose fella in Virginia, wherever he is. Maryland, I don't care where he is, but I took a lot of shit over that. I don't care. I think I was right. I don't know that he was a bad guy, but I'm certain he was in a position to do the wrong thing. And you don't give a man, trust me, you do not give a man the power to enrich himself when he does the wrong thing. Bart's Law number 2, if a mistake will make you money, a man will make that mistake again and again and again till the end of time. But this Colorado guy sounds to me like he wants to get a little of that moose money. He's going to write a book. He's going to be famous. He's going to be on Larry King every night. And the bigger the story is, the more money he's going to make. There's going to be a bidding war for the sheriff's story. And that's stupid. How do we know? I mean, we're supposed to find out today. It's almost 3 o'clock, so in about a little over an hour, we're supposed to know this Kobe Bryant deal. But they better have some ironclad, videotape, medical DNA guaranteed proof that he is guilty after what they've done to Kobe Bryant. He can't get his name back. He can't ever get it. If those stupid cops come out today and say, we're sorry, it was all a mistake, the girl confessed that she made it up, where does Kobe Bryant go to get his good name back? I don't know a thing about the man, but they say he's the cleanest guy in the NFL. I'm sorry, in basketball. And if they've done this to the cleanest guy in basketball, that is an outrage.
Hi, Bart. This is Christian Body. Love your site. Love your show. Want you to know, could I please count on your support to try to organize a boycott of ESPN for hiring that fat, repulsive, low-life dirtbag? I can't imagine that my Sunday morning is going to be ruined by watching that low-life piece of garbage on ESPN for close to 2 hours. Hopefully Michael Irvin or Sterling Sharp or whoever is left on that show with any integrity will get up and kick him in his private section. Again, I'll talk to you soon and I'll email you about a boycott that I have planned. Thanks a lot. Love you. Keep up the great work.
Of course, I would enjoy assisting a Screw the Pig Boy effort. So, yeah, count on me. I can't be counted on to donate any time, but if you want to work up a page or something, send me a link, and I'll post a link with a flashing hot sign by it, but my time is limited. But sure, I'll do whatever I can to help.
And speaking of torture, how about this ugly son of a bitch?
I'm sitting here watching this criminal Tony Blair in front of the Congress, and the whole Congress sitting there applauding this lying piece of crap. You know, so what I'm trying to figure out is what the hell is going on with our country. We got people here that are sending people off to war to die for false goddamn reasons, and we're sitting here, the whole Congress, Democrats and Republicans, sitting here clapping about another little criminal. I mean, this country, I don't know what's coming to it. All I know is that the citizens of this country need their country back, and these pigs up here, I mean, for all those Democrats have been sitting here attacking Bush all week long, and they're going to sit up here and clap the liar in kind? It's absolutely ridiculous. The fact of the matter is we have been hijacked by people who don't have our interest at heart, and what the hell can we do about it? I mean, you know, they're fixing the elections, the black boxes, all the things. I mean, how the hell do we get our country back when we got the same people that we put in office clapping for a lying pig up there in front of Congress? Thank you for letting off my mind. This is Yodel.
Yodel, you make a great point, and I have no explanation for you, buddy. The best I could muster is that their egos are so huge that they're in the club. We're in the club. We're all going to have to join hands, sing Kumbaya, Tony Blair's in the house. Woo, woo, woo. Yeah, it doesn't make any damn sense. I bet the parents of the 231, I believe it is now, dead soldiers, I bet they didn't appreciate a whole bunch of clapping. I mean, what the hell are they clapping for? Because Blair lost his mind and sided with the Bush boy instead of the rest of the whole world? Oh, it was on the page today. Someone else wrote it. Something about take away a few paid-off Brits and the entire world was against this. And that's true. That's exactly what we have. If you're ever at a party and you've been drinking a little too much and you're going to do something like, I don't know, go out on the balcony and jump into the swimming pool, and if everybody agrees it's the wrong thing to do, what kind of arrogant son of a bitch do you say, oh, no, I'm going to do it. I don't care what you say. When the whole party or the whole world tells you that's a bad move, please don't do it, you're screwing up, and you do it anyway, you're either drunk or you're George Bush.
Have you seen that United States Senator Robert Byrd, that old crazy man making speeches? That guy used to be in the Ku Klux Klan. Did you know that when he was younger?
Yeah.
He looks so tired now. He's making no sense. I think he's exhausted from burning the cross at both ends.
Jesus, that's a lame joke. Oh, God. In my comedy career, if I ever get that lame, if I ever do jokes that old, just shoot me. Just put a gun to my head and just pull the trigger. Because I wouldn't want to live like that. I couldn't stand myself. Dennis Miller apparently can, though. And the only reason he's going after Byrd is because Byrd had enough balls to say, let's not get 230 American boys killed in Iraq. Dennis wants more American dead. Who's the patriot here, Byrd or Miller?
You got to get in there and slap those guys around. That whole country's gotten crazy. And am I the only one who could care less about weapons of mass destruction? I mean, that wasn't the whole point of the war for me.
Well, gee, Dennis, just because you weren't concerned about the WMD, I guess we should just tell the families of the dead to get over it, right? What Dennis thinks about the reasons we go into war is what's important, right? Son of a bitch. Plus, he's supposed to be an educated man. He didn't even have the brains to know it's not could care less, it's I couldn't care less. If you can't care any less, that means you care so little. But if you could care less, that means you care more. The idiot didn't even have the language skills to put together an argument.
They got a boy band in Iraq now.
I heard about this.
Have you heard this? They have their own, like,
NSYNC
or something. I think they're called the New Kids on what used to be the Block or something.
Well, I got two problems with that piece of shit joke. Well, three if you count the piece of shit that told it. But the second one would be, do today's kids even know that there was once a band called New Kids on the Block? Again, he's got to reach back 8 or 10 years. I guess NSYNC and whatever the other band is, they've been around 5, 6 years, and they probably filled the void that the New Kids on the... Wasn't the New Kids on the Block Marky Mark? And those are grown men now. They're 30 years old. Why the hell can't Dennis Miller write some jokes that are 21st century? We're 3.5 years into the 21st century, and Dennis Miller's still doing jokes in the 90s. What the hell? Is he even a comedian anymore? Oh, and the other problem, he's making jokes about the Block that's no longer there. Well, yeah, your monkey president got drunk and decided to murder a country. Let's all laugh about that.
Let's see. What else do we got? We got the deficit. All I hear about is the deficit.
Yeah.
We're supposed to worry about the deficit.
Was it $455 billion?
I don't even know what the deficit is. Do we actually owe somebody? I mean, we all pretend like we know, and I always think, well, if we owe somebody, just don't pay them. You know, that solves the deficit problem right there. Nobody's paying us back, for God's sakes.
One big problem I always had with Dennis Miller, even when he was funny, unquote, was he can't decide if he's the comedian or the serious guy. He'll go to great pains to make a serious point, take maybe 90 seconds to set up this point, and just when you think you're on the verge of learning something or finding out what he thinks, he throws in this goofy shit at the end that makes everything, it makes the previous 2 minutes worthless. And I wonder, well, why do you bother with the joke? Now that he's George Bush's court jester, he's making these asinine statements like, well, let's just don't pay the debt. Well, guess what, monkey? Nobody knows less about the workings of government, I guess, than besides me, I guess, than you and Bush. But even an IQ of 64 guy like myself, I know that the debt is owed to us, you stupid idiot monkey. It's owed to bondholders and shareholders and stockholders, and we don't go to France to borrow this money, you stupid. We're borrowing it from the Treasury Department and on the futures of the T-bills and the savings bonds and wherever else it's coming from, but we owe it to ourselves. We owe it to the, you know, these old ladies with dead husbands and pensions that are sending them $1,000 or $2,000 a month. That's who we owe this money to, and you just want to cut them off. You know, Dennis is stooping farther. I don't know. Maybe Andrew Dice Clay has been in this area before, but when you pander to the stupidity of the public, I assume some of those people laughing, they're thinking, well, it's a good idea. Good thinking, Dennis, yeah. Let's just stiff the little old ladies who are depending on us for food. It's a typical Republican answer to a problem. And since Dennis is now a Republican, he's taken every cheap bullshit shot he can at anyone without a half an inch of common sense.
For those of you who are still watching, whether on the 11:30 show or some rerun in the future on the sister station, HBO Shitty, at least you can say that tonight you got to hear Bob Costas's take on hip-hop. Good to see Bob stretch, isn't it? Yes. Now, if I can just hear Drew Barrymore's take on Liberia, I'll be all set. Bob, you make Larry Merchant seem coherent. Stay with NBC. That's where the action is, Bob. The 2010 Winter Olympics, it's incredible. Who knows where fake fireplace technology will be by 2010? I'm going to throw it back. Congratulations, Costas. Seriously, stick with HBO. It's a class operation. Now, coming up right after Bob, a mother and daughter hump the same banana on Real Sex.
That was Triumph, the Wonder Dog. I guess he got his start on Conan. Is he still on Conan sometimes? I bet there's a lot of people who don't like old Triumph. We know Eminem is one of them. Remember at the last MTV Awards? Triumph the Insult Comic is his full name, but he got up, he started talking to Eminem, and Eminem had his people get between him and the dog. I guess he thought the little ham thought it was going to bite him. Triumph the Wonder Dog can be a little mean sometimes. You may not have noticed because it wasn't really the biggest story in show business, but Arliss was recently canceled by HBO. Triumph said, "Don't feel bad about Robert Wool. He just signed a new deal with HBO. $19.95 a month includes Cinemax." Okay, let's go back to the phones.
Lord, I was trying to put all this Iraq stuff in perspective, and I came across a movie I was watching Training Day. He was teaching the young rookie how to be like him, and they went in and he double-crossed that drug dealer and went in and they set up a phony killing. They killed him, went and dug the kitchen floor up and took the money, and after all that was done, they went out to the car. When they got in the car, Denzel was explaining to that guy, said, "Listen, we did what we had to do. You pay, you go my way, and everything will be all right because the world's a better place without that guy." That's the same thing they're pulling on us and everybody concerned. Bush and them are playing the Denzel Washington part, and we're the rookie guy who is idealistic and wants to do things right. And if you don't believe what I'm telling you, take a look at that part in that movie, and you'll see exactly and feel exactly like I did. Thank you, buddy. Keep up the good work, and thanks for sending me my Bart Cop stickers. This is Jerry in Arlington, and I appreciate you. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Jerry. I think you make a great point. Bush not only has done that to America, but he's done it to his own party, too. Or had it done. I don't think Bush could out-muscle a corn dog. When he ran for president in 2000, everybody laid down on the Republican side. He got a little fight out of McCain. He got a little fight out of Forbes. But everybody else, all these debates, all they wanted to do was talk about the greatness, the brave hero, the brainiac, the best qualified candidate for presidency, for the presidency in history, George W. Bush, the saint. It would appear that somebody talked to these GOP presidential hopefuls and said, "Listen, we want you to go through the charade of running against our boy, but don't you dare say anything bad about him, or we'll run you out of politics, or maybe kill you if you do." That the GOP nomination was decided probably a year, maybe a year and a half, probably around the time of impeachment. They knew they had to get somebody who had nothing to do with impeachment because it was more of an embarrassment to the Republicans than it was to Clinton. They had to find somebody who was far, far away from that whole ugly mess. And I think that's one reason the governor got involved. But they also had to muscle everybody else out of the way. And that's where the Denzel character fits right in. And you got to remember, another thing about the 2000 election, I've touched on this before, but the Republicans and oil companies had to win that. Because if Gore had gotten in there and put the resources of the government behind solar energy and windmills and hydrogen energy and whatever other alternative energy sources there are, the oil companies would have been out hundreds of billions of dollars. And don't you look at their tax returns now, boy, did they make the right investment. They gave the monkey a couple of million each, and right now they can't rake in all the billions they're making. And the tax returns, whoo boy, would that go back to 85? Is that what they did? He refunded all the tax money they paid in since 1985, and they say the tax cuts have nothing to do with the deficit. Good thinking. Having all the biggest, richest corporations refunding all that tax money. Oh, no, that couldn't have contributed to the debt. No way. But thanks, Jerry. That was good. Three Democrats asked the NAACP for forgiveness. I didn't even read the story. I heard the Nazi radio talk about it. You know, if you just hear a little Nazi radio talk, you can kind of go the other direction and be well informed. I don't know who the three Democrats were who dissed the NAACP, but that's a stupid thing to do. Speaking frankly, black people have nowhere else to go. They can't go with the Nazi. I mean, they're black. They're hated by the Nazis. You can't vote for the party that wants to put you in the oven. So, yes, they are taken for granted by the Democrats. In a dumb kind of, I hope you understand, way, there's some justification for that because they have nowhere else to go. But to publicly and openly diss them is so stupid. Who the hell, whoever is the campaign manager for the three who said, screw the blacks, they need to be fired. If you're that politically tone deaf, you don't need to be in charge. You can be on the staff, but you don't need to be in charge. And I'm assuming that the candidate didn't have the brains himself to go. How stupid. It just gives the talk radio another headline to see they don't care either. There's no good reason to load up a truck full of ammunition and drive it over to the GOP headquarters and say, here you go, boys. Would you fire this shit at us, please? That's really, really stupid. I am smarter than whoever the three monkeys are that messed us up. If Christian Livermore was on their staff, if she was the political advisor, she would say, you have to go, stupid. Don't you understand what that means if you don't? Do you understand the signal that you'll be sending if you don't go? I know one of them was Lieberman, because I heard Nazi O'Reilly talking about it. Oh, I don't like Lieberman. Don't like him. Don't like him. I heard Glenn Beck and O'Reilly and, oh, they're all the same. There's one more. Whenever they're praising Joe Lieberman, you know he's in trouble. I mean, at least he is with me. If O'Reilly's going to talk about what a good and decent man you are, I don't want you anywhere near my political nominating process. Get the hell out of here, Joe. Joe also guaranteed that Saddam had weapons of mass destruction. Well, Joe, where are they? Why don't you get over there and show us where they are? You've got the reports. You've got the intelligence. Why don't you show us where they are? You're so certain, Joe. Backing up this president? Why would we vote for you, Joe? We already got a Republican in the White House. We don't need you to follow him in there and echo every dumbass idea Bush ever had. What the hell's wrong with you? I'm a man of little patience and not a lot of brains, but it just seems like I can make so much better decisions than some of these monkeys who want to be in charge. You know, there's that old phrase, lead, follow, or get out of the way. A lot of these people think they're leaders, but they're not. They need to be following. And they could do worse following me. I wouldn't have dissed the NAACP. That was a stupid move. And I know Lieberman was one of them.
What about if money was collected to buy a couple of acres in Crawford, Texas for the Gulf War II Memorial Wall and names are put on there weekly? I think that may stir up some stuff. Anyway, keep up the good work. Thanks. Bye.
I think that's a great idea. Not only would I help that effort on .com there, I would put in money. I believe where the caller is coming from is the sons of bitches are building an anti-Clinton library in Little Rock. The sons of bitches. And once again, the only reason they're doing that is because they know the Democrats are too scared to do it to them. They know the Democrats are too sissy. They're too afraid. They just are too polite. They got their little pink tutus on and they would never ever get any mud on their little pink tutus. No, they got to be too polite. I believe it's under construction. Hell, it may be done. But the sons of bitches are building an anti-Clinton memorial in Little Rock. I know you doves won't like this, but I think it's a great idea. We should buy some land as close as we can to Crawford. Be sure it's, well, maybe we could just rent a billboard near Crawford, but nobody would do it. BFEE would put so much pressure on the owner of the billboard, they would never allow it. Maybe we could find a Democrat that owned land that adjoined a highway, but then again, the Nazis would come by daily and shoot shotguns and blow up the billboards, so that, and the sheriff would never investigate. So I don't know, but it is a good idea. The bullies are going to take your lunch money until you kick them in the nuts. The Democrats are standing there every day crying, he took my lunch money, he took my lunch money. And all they do, day after day, week after week, month after month, year after fucking year, they just stand there and whimper and cry because the bully took their lunch money, when all they got to do is kick him in the nuts one time. It is so easy to do. It is so easy. But no, they just refuse to even try. They refuse to come to work. Oh, and that pisses me off. I guarantee you we're going to lose this next election unless somebody stands up now. Don't wait till next summer to stand up and call Bush for what he is. Don't wait until the Iraqi dead count is 950. Christ, there's 700 lives to be saved here right now. Whoever's running for president, I don't care who you are, don't wait until the body count hits 1,000 to speak up. And don't give me any crap about their speaking up now. They are not speaking up now. They're being polite now. They don't want this war stopped. Oh, Jesus, don't tell me that's their strategy, to let the war drag on, let the numbers pile up so they can meekly accuse Bush of it. And here's what, if they do, if that is their strategy, here's what's going to happen. I'm not saying I'm Karl Rove, but if I can stop any Republican dead in their tracks on the Internet, and that's a big son of a bitch, the Internet, then Karl Rove is going to be able to stop, probably with a single line, a single sentence, he's going to be able to stop whoever the leading Democrat is next summer running against Bush. So if the idiot's strategy is to wait until there's a 1,000 or 2,000 dead soldiers in Iraq, then all they got to come up with is the Democrats are anti-American, and Democrats will cry and say, "You're right, Mr. Rove, we're so sorry," and then they'll slither away. Meanwhile, we got the 1,000 or 2,000 dead. Come on. Now is the time to stand up. What is wrong with you? What the hell are you waiting for? I'm in the wrong party. I'm just in the wrong party. I'm not even the tough guy. All I am is the idea guy, the guy who's willing to fight back. Hell, I respect the soldiers because they are fighting. We don't have any soldiers on our side. All we got is wimps and pink tutus, bunch of yellow streaked little sissies. How do we stand ourselves? God, it just makes me sick. We got boys dying, and the Democrats are too afraid to mention it. Son of a bitch.